Okay, we are in Perek Mishra Mesu, Mem Aleph on the Beis, Halacha Vav. And this is going to end the Perek. We'll start Filas HaShachar Mirs Hashem tonight. Okay. Zav Shara'a Keri. So if someone was already at Tumas Zav, which you know, they saw three Re'ias in the Chayev to be mark of a carbon sometimes. Anyway, so if they were, but it certainly is Tuma Chamura. And subsequently, that Zav saw Keri, which is a Tumah Kala, because Keri all it requires is to go to a mikveh and yutar. The Nida Shepalta Shefazera, Nida who requires to go to the mikveh, and she was Palta Shefazera, she becomes Tomei with the same Takanas Ezra, that she becomes Osir, just like the man is Osir when he's Raya Keri, he can't learn Torah. And the woman becomes, what's his name? She becomes also under the rubric of that same Takanas, she can't say Tfilos. Right, that means that she had tasha, and when she had tasha, she becomes this comes under the same framework as any of the other rest of Takanas Ezra, and then she was Rayanida. So the last case was a little different than the previous cases. The previous cases, the Tuma Chamura was first, the Tuma Kala was last. This last case, the Tuma Kala was first, and the Tuma Chamura was last. We'll see why that's significant in a second. But the bottom line is, Tanakhama says, they all need tefillah. That is to say, even though that tefillah will help garnish for the Tuma Chamura, as the Charedim says, Zav Shara Keri, Afal Bisha Tomei Tuma Shiva, Mishum Zivo, they ain't tefillah zu matarosai. The tefillah won't make him tar altogether. Afilu hachi tzarach tefillah l'divrei Torah k'takanas Ezra mishum keri. In other words, it's going to help somewhat to the extent that, as far as the takanas Ezra is concerned, it will relieve the isurim of Talmud Torah that Ezra put in place. Notice how he's very careful to leave the woman out of Talmud Torah and puts her into a different category that she's going to be, what's his name, davening, right? And that's the way they all. Now, the last shita in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda Paiter. Now, the Gemara now thinks Rabbi Yehuda Paiter, Kasakadaitach, let's look at the Charedim again. Kasakadaitach, at this point in the Gemara thinks, Hayol v'tumas ziva kodemes, since the Tumah Chamura was first, referring to the first case, right? Ziva was first. Like we said earlier, the Zavan and Mitzrayim are mutarim. They're allowed. The Tumah Chamura is allowed to learn Torah. Sulo asya tumas keri dekila va asrale. I call Lashon Rashi. So then, the Gemara thinks at this point that when it says of Yehuda poter, it's because since there already is a Tumah Chamura present, so the Tumah Kala won't have any effect. And we're going to, the whole Gemara from the beginning now to the end of the parak will only be discussing Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. This is all the Gemara is going to discuss now. The Gemara, is a little difficult because the Gemara is going to say the same thing now. Not twice, but three times. And it's just going to be saying it with a little different twist. But basically, it's all the same thing, and it's just being repeated over and over and over again. So it's going to sound a little strange, but that's what's going to happen now. Okay, Ad Kedon, let's look. Ad Kedon Zav Shara Keri. So let's see, Ad Kedon is, until now, Rabbi Yehuda said his exception, meaning he said that you're potter from the tefillah. That's if you were a zav, and then you became a bal keri. Va'afilu keri bal keri shara zav. But this is the start of the question. But does that exemption apply even if they were bal keri first and then saw the ziva discharge?
So Rabbi Yehuda says, we just ignore the carry.
Right. The question is, does in Rabbi Yehuda, when he says you ignore the carry, does it make a difference what the order is? Is that going to be true even when he's ra'azov afterwards? In other words, like this, the havamina of the Gemara is the thinking is like this, that since at the time he was ra'a carry, for that moment, at that moment in time, he had not seen the Tumah Chamura. And at that moment in time, he could have gone to the mikveh and resolved the Takanas Ezra. So since there's a chi of tefila machmas Takanas Ezra, so that will remain on him and it will continue through it. What's the word I'm looking for? It will, I don't know, I can't think of the right word. It persists. Yeah, the chi of tefila will persist through his Tumah Ziva. That's the kasha of the Gemara. One more time. Rabbi Yehuda said that you're putter. Now, when he said that you're putter, was that putter be tour of the tefillah of Ezra because there was no point to it because you were already tamei tumah chamura, and so mamela, since there was no point to it, so there was never a chi of tefillah to begin with, or do you say in a case? And therefore, would you say in a case where the carry came first, and for a moment in time you were able to go to the mikveh and resolve the tumah, the takona by going to the mikveh? So maybe even in that case, maybe he would agree that seeing a ziva subsequently would not be enough to pater you from that feed. That's the kasha of the Gemara. Now the Gemara says Nishu ino min hadon. Let's prove the answer. And it's a very simple proof. Let's just go look at the Mishnah. The last case of the Mishnah, remember I mentioned to you, the first case of the Mishnah, it said very clearly, it was Zav, it was first the Tumah Chamura, and then Shirah Keri, then came the Tumah Kala. The last case was Misham Meshes, which is the Tumah Kala, that's the Ziva, that's the Keri, from the woman's perspective, Sharoa Sanida, she saw the Tumah Chamura second. So we have mamash the case that we were asking about, where you had Kala first, Achi of Tfila, and then you saw the Chamura. Nishminim and Adon, that's the Gemara's going to be right. Hamashamash Sharoa Sanida, Shecha Tfila, she has to go Tfila. Rabbi Yehuda point, he ponders it. So you see.
I don't understand. Hamashamash Sharoa Sanida, Shecha Tfila. Tfila for what? It doesn't seem to be any carry here. Where's the carry?
Mishameshes. Whenever
means the carry?
Yes, whenever a woman has tashrish with a man, she automatically becomes Tumas carry.
Uh-huh.
Even if she's not, I saw in the footnotes, it says even if she's not a poletus, just tashrish by itself is enough to make her, as far as Takanas Ezra is concerned.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they say. So therefore, we have a good raya. Rabbi Yehuda patras that even in that case where it is tumah kala to begin with. Okay. Next, now the Gemara is going to say another version of the same question. It's going to sound very, very, very difficult. Why the Gemara is repeating itself? But we'll let's just read it and see. We'll see where we go. Okay. I mean, I didn't work on this very hard. I just read it a couple of times, but I don't see essentially really what the difference is. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara now just presents it as a question. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning? Mishem ma mo'il hu shehu tovel. Is it because what's the use if he goes to be tovel? If he's already has tumah chamura, what's the point in being tovel for the tumah kala? Or is there a different reason? She'ein sheim l'tumah kala etzel tumah chamura. That when there's a lesser form of tumah, it has no significance alongside a greater form of tumah. They sound very similar, but the nafkamina is, let's see, the way he says it is like this. I just want to get this straight. It's hard to even understand what the difference is because they sound so similar. And I read it and I still don't know it. According to, let's do the second side. Rabbi Yehuda reasons, let's look, footnote four. Rabbi Yehuda reasons, where a person has acquired a strict form of tumah, such as zav, and the lesser form of tumah keri is treated as if it never took effect. Therefore, a zav who experiences tumas keri is not required to go to the mikvah. So in other words, so the second side here that we just read, she'ein sham l'tumah kala etzel tumah hamura, that is basically saying that you would not need to go to the mikvah. But in the first side of Mishoim ma mo'il husho tovel, that's only going to make sense if you already had tumah hamura first. But if you first had the tumas carry, then there would have been at that moment in time a purpose to being toivel, and therefore you would be chayav to be toivel. Okay, so that's just another way of saying the same thing we said before, but a little different twist.
Would you? Let me ask this question. I understand that tumah kala, but I'm wondering this: if someone's just about carry, wouldn't you want him to get better before he goes to the mikvah? And not use the mikvah until he's healed.
I mean
the zav.
Yeah, you're viewing ziva as a disease.
Yeah. No.
I don't think although you are right that the Rishonim do describe zav as a type of a holy, but I don't believe that it is a transmittable holy. I don't believe it's contagious. So I don't think that is a concern.
In the second case, the tumah hamura is looked at as almost like a shell that the other tummy doesn't get through, so that never affects them.
Correct.
According to Rabbi Yehuda.
That's correct. According to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore you wouldn't have to be titled. Correct. Okay, so that's version number two. Next, Gemara says, what's the difference between these two Lashinas? Well, Kari, if he first saw the Kari and then he saw the Ziva, it's just going to speak out what we just said. In Tamer, Ma Moil Shu Tovel, if you're going to say what's the use, Moilu, it would have been Moil. In other words, at the time that he saw the Kari, it would have been Moil. And it, but according to the other side, it would not be. Have a less time of the law, Yishom, Shein Shem Tumakala, Eitzel Tumakamura. So therefore, Behuda's reasoning is only that a lesser form of tumah is of no significance alongside a greater form of tumah because of the raya that we brought before from the Mishameshes. Ad Kedon, let's go a third version of the same Shaila.
Wait a minute. So there is time between the keri and whatever the tumah the next one is for him to go to the mikvah. That right?
There is a moment in time. I'm just going to put it this way. All you need is a moment in time where the chiyuv tefillah kicked in. I don't know if you necessarily need time to be able to go to the mikvah and take long. You know, I'm not getting into that part of it. Perhaps if you want to say that also, you could say that also. That's kedehilah chamishamama. So maybe there's enough time to walk 50 amas. That's what we said before, that's how long it takes to be titled. But I don't think that's necessary for the Gemara. All you need is a moment in time where you only had the tumas carry. Okay? And then finally, ad kedon kishabasal tumah kala basof, afilu basal tumah hamura basof. Maybe Rabbi Huda only said his din when Tumah Kala was at the end, but what about if the Tumah Chamur was at the end? Same exact question we just said. Nishmina and Hadar, and then it brings the same Raya. Hamashamesha Shurasani, the Tzricha Tzrila, Abuda Paiter. Hadarma, he Hadar. It's the same thing. It doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Yehuda will pater you regardless whether you saw the Tumah Kala first or the Tumah Kala at the end. Does he say something over here? Yeah, in footnote, on page 42b, one, he says this version of the inquiry is identical to the previous ones and differs only in its wording. It's very much in the Talmudic tradition of both Yerushalmi and Bavli to cite several versions of a single teaching or inquiry.
Okay. So we paskin like the Yachid?
What you're asking is that why is the Gemara clearing Shilas according to Rabbi Yehuda? L'chayre, he's the Yachid, so why are they even bothering? That's your question.
And it seems like this is how we're Nayig.
Let's see. Well, I see there's a letter there. There's a letter there, Tak.
Isn't it Rabbi Yehuda against the Tanakhama, one against one? Where's the Rabbi? Tanakhama,
is that Drabbanan?
I don't think so. It would seem that it's Tanakhama.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
One against one.
Okay.
So it's not again anymore. Yes. So why would they put the letter over there? You're right. I don't know. I don't know why. There's a letter, a Perek Dalet, Halacha Ches, Perek Dalet, Halacha Hey. Let me just take a quick peek just to see if. What?
Perek Dalet. We're in Perek Gimel.
I'm talking about the Rambam.
Oh.
Okay, so I just wanted to see if he mentions anything. So Perek Dalet, Halacha Hey. No, he says the opposite. It's a mistake. It says Hamashamet talking. The Rambam's talking about before the Takanas Ezra was thrown out, so to speak, because the people couldn't be oimed on it. He says. At the time of the takana, shafilu zov shiroa keri, v'nida shapalta shechazera, v'hamishameshes shiroas nida, srichin tfilo v'kriyishma. V'chein l'tfilo, neha keri, afo pishein tmein. V'chein adin noisin, she'ein tfilo zum, neha taro. This is the Rambam's explanation. This din is not because of making him tohar. Okay, so that's in the original form. The Rambam's very clear here that you would be chayiv to be toivel in all the cases. He paskins clearly Tanakama.
Yeah.
And as we've seen many times, you cannot rely on the letters. Looking at the letters on the Mishnah to decide who he paskin like. It's misleading. And this is a classic example. Now, as far as Shamsi's question, your observation is certainly something taken to account. Well, the Gemara, I guess, often will, Hagdol Torah V'yadir discuss a question which is not Nagel Alach L'mais necessarily. Okay. L'hadron Alach Misha Mason, let's start a new part. Filas HaShachar. So we finished with all of Hilchas Kriya Shema. Now we're going to start Hilchas Tefillah, Gishmak. So you can daven shachar up until chatzos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer at Arba Shos, you only have 4 hours. Paskin. In this case, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, until 4 hours, you get tefillah. You're allowed to daven until chatzos, but schar tefillah bezmana, you only get until 4 hours.
We're talking about Shmona Esrei here?
Shmona Esrei. Tefillah sashachar. Shmona Esrei. So, filas ha-mincha ad ha-erev, you can go mincha up until neitzachamah, let's say, that erev means neitzachamah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad plag ha-mincha, you have until plag, which is an hour and a quarter before sunset. Filas ha-erev ain't lo keva, there's no keva from erev, that you have the whole night. The shal musaf and kol yom, you have all day for kav musaf. Now, the Gemara says, I just want to point this out, and I think the Haredim actually points this out. Let's do the Haredim inside. This is very important. Let's take a look at that. Ad plag ha-mincha. This Haredim is essential. Zman mincha ketano hi mitesha shos umetza ad halayla. 9.5 hours, right? 9.5 hours into the day. So let's use a 6 to 6 day. It's 9.5 hours would be how much? Be 3:30 p.m. Right? 3:30 p.m. until 6. Shehem shteishos v'chatzi, 2.5 hours. Nimtza plag haminfa. So plag haminfa, which is half of that shear. So you split the 2.5 hours in half. You get an hour and a quarter. Shehatzi shir shor revia, an hour and a quarter. And so you take an hour and a quarter before sunset. That's plag. Upsak haloch. Here is the psak. Listening closely. Lo'avid kamarovid. Lo'avid kamarovid. We're all familiar with that terminology. Now look at this. If you want to do like chachamim, you could do like them. That means if you're going to paskin like the chachamim, you're going to daven mincha until sunset. It means you can never daven meir before sunset. Never. That's the word I want to bring out over here. A lot of people make a mistake and they think in one day you can't do differently, but on separate days, you could do like a Yehuda one day and like a Chacham another day. This is clear here, and it's this way in Shulchan Aruch as well. It's la'olam. If you're paskening one way, you can never daven ma'ariv before sunset. They given the makshiv oisa yoyim le'inyon shemas pala by mincha, and a yochal akshiv alayla is pala by aris. Once you consider it day from mincha, you can't consider it night from ma'ariv. But right, the last time, if you want to do like a Yehuda, let's pala aris bin plaga mincha l'malo. You want to daven ma'ariv after plag? Sula matzi letzluye mincha meplag ha-mincha. So then you are this. You can no longer daven mincha after an hour and a quarter before sunset. Uminoanan that hanigina letzluye mincha ha-erev sula letzluye shal aris adam espani yumakarabonan. And therefore, from this, from what we've just said, since our minhag is to only daven mincha at sunset, before sunset, therefore we will only daven ma'ariv after sunset. Okay, now Rebbe and Rav and all the people who daven Shal Shabbos, Be'erev Shabbos, they hold like Rebbe Yehuda. Okay, anyway, so that's. I just want to make this clear because I think there's a lot of confusion out there. I do not understand when I walk into Shomrei and I see a whole Olam over there davening Mincha and Ma'ariv after the Plaga Mincha Minyan, and these are the same people I see. You know, if it's not the summer, they're davening regular Bizman Mincha and Ma'ariv. The rest of the year, they're davening at Shkia. Doesn't make any sense to me. Don't they realize it's a tactic disaster? You can't paskin half a year like Rabbi Yehuda and the other half a year like the Chacham. I don't understand where it's coming from. Just one of the many tmiyos I have. I'm not going to be myrach over here because I want to get.
But Shlaima, is there a separate heter, if you will, in terms of Shabbos, because you do that, even though all year we grant
Shabbos is different because
give me Kabbal Shabbos
because we must see from Mikol Al Hakodesh, and so Erev Shabbos is always considered different, and because to us Arvis is Rishos, so they were making Erev Shabbos. It's special. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, frankly, to be Machmir on Erev Shabbos also, but besides the Mishnah Berurah, one. Okay. Ben Sion, who's sitting here on my right, says that there's a Magen Avraham who says that it could be also Erev Shabbos. The Karbonos were set up differently. Okay. So whatever the reason is, let's go back.
If you continue in the Charedim in there, he talks about Shabbos and Erev Shabbos.
He does?
Yeah, the last skinny line there. Rabbi Barav, Chalani, this one, Shabbos,
Erev. Yeah, I read that. They held like Rabbi Huda.
Right.
But we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, but we still daven Ma'ariv before Shkia during the summer. We daven at 7. We daven Mincha at 7 o'clock, and then we daven Ma'ariv right after that, and it's before Shkia. Okay, next. So, Tfilas HaShachar HaKatzos, Siv Le'ahav HaSa Shem Alakechem, Le'yavdom Kol Mavgum Kol Nashrechem, Chi Shavei Le'Belev, Mezu Ozu Tfila. What's Avei Le'Belev? That's davening. B'chein Weimer, hello. How do you read this? You have to read this right. It's Pasuk Daniel. It says, "Elohach the ant polach lei v'sedira hu yishes vinov." So There's a little background here. It's good to know. Footnote 11, he brings the whole background over here. So Darius took over power from Belshazzar, and he had advisors, and Daniel was one of the advisors, and Daniel was superior to all the other ones, so he wanted to appoint him over the entire kingdom. The other advisors were jealous of him, so they wanted to discredit him, so they made up a whole plan. They knew that he was very involved in tefillah, so they said that there should be no one. They made up a decree that for the next 30 days, anybody who asks, there should be no prayer to anyone except for the king. Anybody who prays to anyone except for the king will be thrown in a den of lions. And this is how the whole story with Daniel happened. See, he's davening every day to, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like he did before. And it says that he had to throw him in the den of lions. Now, at that point, Darius still liked Daniel very much. He was being forced by these conniving advisors they fooled him into doing this. So before he threw him into the den, he said this pasuk. He said, Elohach, your God, Dian Plachle, talking to Daniel. Darius is speaking here on the pasuk. He says that your God, whom you serve continually, Mr. Dira, so who yishes minach, he should save you. So the Gemara dashes, Kiyesh Polchon Bebavel, is there any service? Because service sounds like carbonus. Is there any service in Bavel? Obviously, there's no temple service there. So obviously, it's referring to Tfila. So again, you see that Avodah is Tfila. And when I saw this Gemara, I got a little bit disturbed by this. We have a pasuk in the Torah, in the Kriya Shema. The La'adda is Utfila, love the whole of Avkam, is Utfila, and then we bring a secondary proof to a pasuk in the Chumash to what a guy said, to what Darius said to Daniel as another proof that Avoid is Utfila. What's going on over here? Like, did you ever see such a thing? That's a Mandazah. I didn't see anybody raise this problem. I looked around. Anyway, bothered me. Yochai Heim is Paul Shloshim Kachas. The Gemara says, you might think daven all three at once. Meaning, you could daven Chakras, Mincha, and Meirav all together, you know, one after the other. Pirish b'Daniel, but in Daniel it says, Zimnin Tlosa b'Yoimo, b'Baruch al b'Kai, that there were three times a day he fell to his knees and he prayed. So three times sounds like three distinct times, but they're not one right after the other. Next. We're going to have to go weiter on the next page. Shomim Gimel Amud Aleph. Yochai Heim Ismael Chol Rosh Yitzhi. You might think you can daven in any direction you want. After all, God is everywhere. Why do I have to face a direction? Just pray wherever, in any direction, you'll be praying to God, right? It says that he had the windows open in his upper story. That is to say, Daniel had like a upper floor where he was davening it every day, and the windows were open facing Yerushalayim. So it has to be facing Yerushalayim. Yochel Mishabol, a Goylon came. Maybe that's only when they went to exile, but beforehand they could daven in any direction. Just exactly as he used to do that, the same thing before this. It was before the Korban. So you might think you could daven anytime you want. For our Pirish David, that there's specific times. You might think you're supposed to raise your voice. Pirish Fechana. But we learn that from Chana, and it says, she was talking to her heart, meaning she was speaking very softly. And therefore, you should not be magbir your voice. Yocho Yehima Harabalev. Maybe Dorm Shablev, Havim Dvorim, according to that. Tamulay Marakshla Sahan knows. You see, it was not just in her lave, her lips were actually moving on Ketzat, so what has to happen? Marchesh Mesiv Soysov. You should pronounce the words with your lips.
Loud enough for you to hear it, not the next person.
Correct. I explained this physiologically, and I hope, I don't know if Shamsi will agree with me. But physiologically, it's like this. You have a direct connection between the back of your throat to your ears. So when you speak inside your mouth, your ears can hear what you're saying because of that connection. It's not when you speak, when you hear what you're saying because of the wind that carries the voice out of your lips, out into the air. If that's how you're hearing your voice, then other people can hear it also. So that's how I'm explaining it. So when you speak to Shemona Esrei, it's not loud enough that if someone were to put their ear next to you, that they would hear anything. It should only be audible to yourself because it's internal to your body. That's the way I explain it. Does that make sense?
A little bit.
Okay.
Some of Mefarish says, I don't remember who it is, but if the next person hears what you're saying, your tefillah is going up to Shemayim through him. And if he may not be the right type of person that you want to send your prayers up to Hashem.
Okay. I don't know why he has to be taking my prayers just because he hears it.
That's the way it works.
Is that Shemayim or something?
Somebody says it.
Yeah. It's an interesting shot. Yeah, a lot of times the person is standing next to me, I don't want him having anything to do with my prayers. Okay.
Don't let him hear
him. By the way, do you ever hear of Vart? Why Chana is the one who we learn out the Ikar Hilchas Tefillah from?
Yeah.
Why was Chana the one that we learn out Tefillah from? You know, what was special about Chana? So what I heard once was that because she was, when she saw that her husband said, you know, I'm better for you than, you know, I forget the exact Lashon of the Pasuk. I'm better than seven wives, whatever. I forget what Lashon is in the Pasuk. But six wives, was it? I'm better for you. And she realized that her husband is not going to be the one to help her. She realized it's in Hadavar Toli Elabi. And upon that realization, she broke down and had a personal beckoning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That realization that it's HaKol Toli Bi, it's my problem and I'm the only one that can solve it by praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the mahus of tefillah. And that's why we learn out Hilchas Tefillah from Chana. And somebody told me that, Brian. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know who said it. Like you, Reb David. I heard it from somebody. So anyway, so from this passage we learn out four things. Chana mit Marasa Liba, Mikan Shat Tefillah Tzich Kavonot. You have to have Kavonot, because Liba. Raksa Sela knows, Mikan Shehet Shu Tzorak V'Hakrish B'Sif Saisa. V'Kolo Yishama Mikan Shalehi Odom Magbias Kolo V'Yisbalo. The final one is very interesting. So because he thought she was a shikar, so he was saying on Masi Tishtakarin, Eli was telling her, you know, what's going on over here? So what's the pshat? Why did he think that she was a shikar? So the Mashal learns that apparently there's a Rashi about it, which the Mashal is not happy about.
Right.
So Mashal learns that the pshat is because he thought she was a shikar because of the long-winded tefillah she was saying, and therefore he thought that she was shikar.
No, I forget it. I'll remember. My memory doesn't allow me to tell you who says it. But what happened was he looked at the Urim v'Tumim. And he saw the letters Keshera, Kaf Shin Resh Hey, and he misread it as Shikora. That's what happened.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Does
that ring a bell? That's
somewhere. Yeah, for sure. It's written. I saw that in Rav David. Where did you see that?
He doesn't remember.
I can't remember. I don't know.
You saw it first in the back of the Olamenu.
No, we saw it very recently somewhere. Very, very recently we came across that. Yeah.
It's
well known. I mean, what I'm telling you, nothing that You should have all heard of this before.
Guys, we can stop here if you want, or we can go further. I leave it up to the oil. What do you want to do?
Are you missing the whole schmog?
It's okay.
Okay.
No, I wasn't anything there worth writing home about. We can stop here. But just remember, we're holding right over here, middle of the sugya of Tfila. And so far, we're saying you cannot say it out loud. We're going to see soon other positions in this inyan. Okay.
Tomorrow live or on Zoom?